also something important I think we should bring up, but come Monday, Josh and Jenny became the proud parents of Cheeks McGee, the hamster, who was hand-delivered by the stork, who is Mitchell over here. I was in the delivery room when Cheeks arrived. It was the only delivery I was to where the mother wasn't present. But I guess that's a good thing for having him been delivered at the men's Bible study. In any event, congratulations to the both of you, proud parents. No other further announcements have come to my attention, so in that case, I'm going to ask that you all stand on up and why don't you say hello to someone you haven't said hello to yet this morning.
Okay, let's try and make our way back so we can... We can get our worship time started. Oh, when family gets together, we want to talk and chat, and that's wonderful. So think about whenever the service is over, think about how much you wanted to stay and talk a little bit longer, and then you can stay and talk a little bit longer after service. So let's grab our seats and as we begin, continue to worship God. You know, this time of coming together, it's so wonderful to be able to come and to worship with one another. That's so important, because it's so important to connect with one another, because one of the awesome scriptures and teachings of Jesus, of course, is that the world will know that we're his disciples because of our love one for another. So we want to diligently appreciate one another and really connect with one another in that way as well. But as we enter into this time of worship, I want you to think about who we're worshiping. not about man, it's about God. And, you know, we don't necessarily do everything exactly the same way here every Sunday, and we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. When we're worshiping, you know, we usually take a special time for our time and offering, but for our tithes and offerings to bring them before the Lord. But as we worship today, as we sing songs, as we are worshiping Him, I just invite you to come and bring your tithes and offerings up at any moment during the worship time, because that's really what, when we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord, it is a time of worship. It is all about worshiping Him. We're declaring to Him that we honor Him with our finances as well as our praise and so forth. And so as we worship this morning, just do that at any time that you want to come up and bring your tithes and offering up and put them in the basket, and we'll worship God in that fashion this morning. Father, we want to say we love You. We're so glad that You're with us today, God. You have gathered this family together, Lord, and we recognize that You don't gather them together without You being present. So we're so glad that You're here today. We thank You for Your presence in our midst, God. And Lord, You have instructed us, God, to pray for our nation, pray for those who are in rulership over our nation. So we do take this time, God, to bring our nation before You, to bring the leaders, the prime minister and his office, the governing parties of today, God. We ask that You would grant them wisdom in dealing wisely with the affairs of the nation, that we might live peaceable lives, that we might be able to, that there might be an environment in Canada that would be conducive to the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for that, and we consider it a privilege, Lord, to be able to live in this land. We recognize we are a blessed people. As we worship You this morning, come, inhabit our praises, that You might be honored in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and worship our awesome God.
To You, O Lord, will all the earth give glory. No other name will share the glory of You. No kingdoms rise and nations mock Your mercy. One day they'll stand and worship only You. Every knee will bow down, every tongue say out loud to all the Lord of all brethren. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of praise. You are the King of all creation, they'll say one day. You, O Lord, will all the earth give glory. No other name will share the glory of You. No kingdoms rise and nations mock Your mercy. One day they'll stand and worship only You. Every knee will bow down, every tongue say, I'm not You all the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand to raise an offering. every tongue say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of prayer, you are the King of all creation. They'll say, one day. Every knee will bow down, every tongue say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of prayer, you are the King of all creation. They'll say, one day, one day. Yours is the King. Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. They'll sing, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. We'll sing, yours is the kingdom, the every knee will bow down, every tongue say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of praise, you are the King of all creation. They'll say, every knee will bow down, every tongue say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of praise, you are the King of all creation. They'll say, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day. All creation cries to you, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son. All creation gives you alone are truly Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord, although I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord.
He is the one, he is Jesus, come, come reveal whose I am. Through your death, you have paid for my life. All of my sin has been forgiven through your blood. So I come with confidence into my Father's house. I believe you are the Lamb the prophet spoke about. On the cross you purchased me. My life's no longer mine. Jesus, come, come reveal whose I am. Through your death, you have paid for my life. All of my shame has been exchanged for pure delight. So I come with confidence into my Father's house. I believe
Jesus, we recognize you this morning as the one that the prophet spoke about. I want us to just think about that for a minute as we are thinking about the words of that song, that Jesus is the one that all the prophets spoke about. There's nobody else that's going to come and say, I've got a different way, a better way. There's no one else that's going to come to provide something more than what Jesus has provided for us. And where you're at today, no matter what you're going through, I want you to know that Jesus is the one who has the answer for no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with. Jesus is the one who has the answer for you. I want to say that even if you're living a life that might seem kind of mundane and you say there's more to life than this, Jesus is the answer for that. Jesus is the answer for that as well. He's the answer for everything. Lord, we just want to declare to you, dear God, that we believe that you have all the answers, that you have came, as you have said, to give us life and life more abundantly. We thank you for that this morning, God. And Lord, each one in this place this morning, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to each one of us, Father, either through the song, through the ministry of the word, but also, Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us in our own hearts, God, with things that we need to hear from you this day that will advance us toward a closer relationship with you. Jesus, we declare you as Lord, we declare you as King, we declare you as Savior, Redeemer, the only one through whom we can come to the Father. We thank you, Father, we're secure in that you've sent us Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We like to declare that often, that Jesus Christ is the only way. And one of the reasons why we like to declare that often is because there's all kinds of other people saying that there's all kinds of other ways to the Father. But Jesus plainly declared that no one comes to the Father except by me. So we want to declare whatever Jesus declared. It's important for us to declare whatever Jesus declared. And if he says he's the only way, then he's the only way. There's no other. Well, we're so glad that you came to visit with us this morning and worship with us this morning. We're so glad that you're come to be a part of a family who wants to worship God and wants to see Jesus lifted up. We're so thrilled, actually, that to be connected together in this way. And we pray that as you come, that you'll not leave here without having a sense of meeting with God. It's awesome to meet with one another, it really is, but we also have to have a sense that we've been with God today. We've heard a message from God. We've heard something from God. You know, we don't have to be able to connect with every single thing that goes on, but if we can leave this place today and say, there's something that I've connected with in the Spirit that I've never connected with before. There's something that God spoke to me about that I've never connected with before. We can praise God because one word from God can change a person's life forever. One word from the Lord can change a person's life forever. Well, children, why don't you come and we'll pray with you before you go to your children's class today. Why don't you come on up and we'll bless you as you leave. And yeah, come on up. What a fine-looking crew we have. This is our future, folks. Well, let's pray for them. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for you being who you are, God. And Lord, I do thank you. Jesus said that even the little children, their angels, were ever before the Father in heaven. And God, we thank you that their angels, Father, are ever active in their lives, Lord, being in a place of protection. We thank you, Father, for the word that they will hear this morning, that it'll go deep down within their spirits and it'll cause a foundation for them throughout their lives. And we thank you, Lord, that they look so pretty. We bless them in Jesus' name. God bless you, kids, as you go to Sunday school. Just love those little pink dresses. You can go. Praise the Lord. They're wonderful. Jenny's going to come and share with us a few minutes some things that the Lord has put on her heart. And let's just be tuned in. You know, last week we had this speaker from New York. And I exhorted you to be expecting to hear from the Lord, expecting. Get yourself in a place of expectation. And I want to challenge you to do that again this morning. The Lord, I know the Lord has put a few things in my heart that I believe that he wants shared, but Jenny's going to share. I know that the Lord will speak to us through her as well. But be expecting. Please don't come to church just to come to church and go through a religious experience and go home. Life is too short for that nonsense. We come to get connected in a way that we've never connected with before, with God. And if we don't put our antennas up, our spiritual antennas up with an expectation, then it won't come. Jenny, come on up and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be up here and be speaking with you. This is the first time that I've really had a church family. I really had a home church, and it's so precious. And Josh and I have been in places where we didn't have that church community, and you miss it so much when it's not there. So when I'm here, I just try to just remain so thankful and so grateful, and I just love you, and I hope that in my speaking that you would feel edified and lifted up and that I can serve you in this way. I did prepare a message that means a lot to me, but I also feel like God's just telling me to share some things on that have been like tugging on my heart, so I hope that's okay if we can just, you know, just talk. I was worshiping last night, and it was just hitting me so strong how much I need God. I was just thinking, God, I can't really love without you. God, I can't really have compassion without you. It's like we're all capable of a human love, of doing good things for others. But I don't know about you, but for me, I find even those good things I do for others, somewhere down there's something in it for me. There's something that I really benefited from that experience. It's not really that selfless love from 1 Corinthians 13. It's not really that charity of love is patient and love is kind, love isn't easily provoked. And I just want so badly to have that real love burning inside of me. I want to be able to serve people and for it to not be about me. And, oh, I'm going to feel so good after doing this. And, oh, after I do this, I'm going to tell someone that I did it just for so they could think I'm really awesome and really spiritual. It's like, God, I want to be like you. And isn't our goal to be Christ-like, to become like him? And just during worship, it's one of those worship times where you're just crying because you're just like, oh, God, I'm just desperate. I'm desperate. I'm lost without you. I can't love. I can't have compassion. I can't do these things without you in my life. And I imagine living life where it is just all about me. Maybe I do nice things for others, but really it's about me. And I feel that there's no freedom. Even though that kind of lifestyle we may feel like, oh, I get to do what I really want. There's not a freedom in that. You're just a bonded, you're just a slave to yourself. You're just a slave to your own desires and getting affirmation from people and the praise of man. And I just don't want that. And I wonder if this is sort of what Jesus meant on his sermon on the mountain. He was saying, blessed are those who are spiritually poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. And I wonder if that's what it means to be spiritually poor, just to come to the end of ourselves where we just realize our entire need on God. We become so needy and so dependent, and we realize, God, I cannot be like you without you. There is nothing good in me. There's nothing good in me, but everything good in you. And the Bible says, how blessed are those who long for him. And sometimes I feel like I'm just kind of knocking at his door late at night, like, God, I really need you. I really need your mercy. I really need your love. I really need your patience. I really need your joy. But you know, he always invites us in. God doesn't leave us outside in the cold. The Bible says that those who knock, it shall be opened for them. God always invites us in. He says, feed on my spirit. Come and have my love. Come and have my humility. He says, come dine with me. He says, come enjoy my presence. Pastor Bill was just saying that we can hear one word from God and be changed. And I think that's so true. Just one word from God. Just one moment in his presence. And we're changed forever. I believe we need his presence so badly. And I get so convicted because sometimes I feel like I can't even get off the computer. You know what I mean? Like Facebook and Twitter and so many distractions. And I'm I don't even need those things. I'm just a distraction to myself and my mind. You know, during worship when you're like, oh, when did I even start thinking about that? It's like, God, I need you so badly. And I was reading stories of Mother Teresa, and that always does something to me as well. I love Mother Teresa. I'm so inspired by her. And she was just a regular person. She was. She was just a regular person, didn't really start her ministry until she was 40 years old. She waited a few years for her spiritual authority to give her the permission to do so. She was just a regular woman. She had her doubts. She has a journal full of them. But she did extraordinary things. And many extraordinary simple things. I was reading a story about her where she found a man on the street who was half eaten by worms. I can't even imagine what that man must have smelled like. What he must have looked like, but she picked him up and took him to the house that they had established, and she washed him. And he said, "Why are you doing this?" And she said, "Because I love you." It's an extraordinary love. And that man, he died that night, and he said, "I've lived my life on the streets like an animal. But tonight I know that God loves me, and tonight I will die like an angel." It's an extraordinary love. It's a supernatural love that's born out of the heart of God. And we're not capable of it, which is the beautiful thing. Because I don't want to give people what I got. I want to give people what God has given to me. I want to give people Jesus. I can't change people. But God can transform hearts. And I know this because he's transformed my heart. I think about what I used to be like, the things I used to do, the thoughts I used to have. And I'm so thankful that I'm not there anymore. I'm so thankful. I just think, thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God I know him. I'm just so thankful for my husband. I couldn't have married anyone better. Josh, he is my dream man. I'm so inspired by him. Really, I'm encouraged by him. I just can't even believe it. Because your whole life you want to marry that right person. You don't want to make the mistake. And wow, I married someone who's just amazing. Sometimes I walk in to his Bible study when he's still teaching, and it's just amazing. He's such a gifted teacher, and God has put so much inside of him that, like, we'll get together and have a Bible study, and I'll even just leave that Bible study just so encouraged by him. And that's why we got this scripture tattooed on our fingers, "The deep calls out to deep," because we feel like we both have this deep longing for God, and we feel like that's what unites us together. And I'm really happy that on September 9th, we'll be celebrating 2 years of marriage, and it's just been an awesome 2 years, and I'm just looking forward to just more, just better and better, and just as we get closer to God together, it's just going to be good. It's an extraordinary love. It's a love that I want. It's a love that I want so badly. And I know that I'm speaking to hearts today that would say, "Me too. Yes, me too. I know we're on the same page as this." And God says that he has poured this love into our hearts. So it's not as if we're kind of like poor beggars, like, "God, need your love." Like, we do say that because there is this constant pursuit of growing in his love, but at the same time, he has given it to us, and he will continue to develop it. He is faithful. Josh and I were talking about this last night, and Josh said, "Well, you know, that's a lifelong thing. It's kind of like praying for patience. You may not get it all in one shot, but as your life goes on, it comes stronger and stronger." And I've been reading this other book called Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. He founded the Voice of the Martyrs organization. And that's a book that'll just, like, flip your whole theology. It'll make you question things that you once thought were important. It's about Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian pastor. And because of communism, he was thrown into prison because he lived in a time where communism is your religion. You're not a Christian, you're a communist. If you're a Christian, well, you shouldn't be. It's the law. So he was thrown into prison, and him and a bunch of other Christians were tortured, and there was an underground church, and it's just an amazing book. But he shares stories of himself and fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and kind of like their stories in prison. And he talks about how they loved to minister to the guards who beat them. It's just crazy. He was saying, he said something like, they beat us and they torture us and we want to give them the best that we have, which is salvation in Jesus. He said, we look at them and we see the Saul of Tarsus, who once tortured Christians, but now is in love with Jesus. And you know, guards were saved. They did come to Jesus under the ministry of the Christians and the martyrs in prison. It's an extraordinary love. And I don't mean to share stories that we can't relate to. I know that it's not a common thing to see like a man half eaten by worms, and I know that we're not on our way to prison, or, you know, we're not in an underground church, but I believe that just the same, that these stories could inspire us and encourage us, and they can make us look at eternity a little bit more and say, am I living today with my heart invested in eternal things? And I think about our church family, and God wants us to love the whole world, believers, non-believers. But sometimes it's family that really tests our love. It is. Because you're comfortable, you're familiar. And you expect more from family. Like some people, like I meet for the first time, I just don't expect that much from them. But people who you know very closely, you just have higher expectations, and then you can tend to get disappointed with them. And I feel like selfless love is not only for the people who hate us, but it's for the people who love us as well in our own church family. That kind of selfless serving, that kind of patience, that kind of joy. I work at a daycare, and I work with one-year-olds. And it'll be the type of thing where one of the babies will be crying and I'll be holding them and comforting them. Then another one's grabbing onto my legs. They want me to hold them too. In their world, it's just them. They are the center of their world. They don't recognize, oh, this other child needs to be taken care of right now, so I'll wait. There's no such thing. And kids are like that just because they're immature, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's just the way that it is. When someone doesn't have a recognition or care about the needs of others, it's a sign of immaturity. Even people, teenagers, people who are older, when they only serve themselves, it's immaturity. And I was thinking about this, and I think that if we want to be mature Christians, which I'm sure we all want, a mark of maturity is, am I able to take care of others? Do I care about the needs of others, or is it all about me? You know, is this making sense? And so I believe that God has given us His Holy Spirit to help us love the world, people who hate us, people who are hard to look at, people who want us to get away from them. I remember there was a time that we were street evangelizing, and it was Halloween. And I approached one girl, and she was long blonde hair, dressed very provocatively. And I began to speak with her, talking to her about God's desperate love for her. And she said, I remember she said to me, "I am very far from God." And I just remember the look in her eyes, this kind of deep, deep sorrow. It's as if when I approached her and I just said, "Jesus," like I just ripped off a scab, and she just said, get away from me. And there's just certain moments like that that just, they just stay with me and they just linger, and it just makes me even more hungry to love people. Like, God, how can I love her? Because there's people who are just hurting so, so badly. It's like, God, I need your love that isn't interested in what's in it for me, but just interested and bringing Jesus in your presence to that hurting person. And I believe God wants us to love those people, and he wants us to love the people right beside us in this room. He wants us to love our family, and he's given us to each other to encourage each other and sometimes confront each other and help each other. And we should all be interested in the spiritual growth of one another. The Bible talks about rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. I know I'm botching the scripture. Weep with those who weep, you know. And I believe that God wants us to enter in to each other's joys and enter into each other's griefs as if they were our own. Oh, he's so wonderful. We need him so bad. I believe it's a beautiful thing to be just so dependent on him. I'd love to just wake up in the morning and it's just Jesus. Go to bed at night and just Jesus. Just everything. That he would just be my everything. So, let's pray. Jesus, Lord, thank you so much for the people in this room. Thank you that we are a family. And thank you, look, God, for the gifts that you've put inside of these awesome brothers and sisters. Thank you for the transformation that has been taking place in their hearts. Lord, I just ask you just to bless them and that they would feel Jesus ministering to their hearts today. I'm just so thankful for these people here, God. They're so precious. And yeah, Lord, I just pray just for a deeper intimacy with you and just for a longing for your kind of real, genuine love, your deep love. Thank you, Jesus, so much, God. Oh, God, I pray just for a longing for you. And God, I thank you that as we draw near to you, you draw right back, God. That as we feel hungry, Lord, that you feed us. That as we knock, the door is open to us. I thank you that we can sit with you, we can enjoy you, we can bask in your presence and grow together, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jenny. It was great. Boy, there's lots of things to be able to take off from there. Some of the things you said. One of the things about the whole area of love and the things that you expressed, you know, it's so true that we cannot love the way we should love without the power of God, without God helping us, without God ministering to us. We cannot be the way people we're supposed to be without God's help and without him, having more of him. And so a few things that I want to share about that this morning, and it certainly was going somewhere where I thought was really, well, this is going to connect really good, but some of the things I have to share with you, because the Lord wants us to be in this place of desperation so that we realize that we need him so bad, like Jenny was talking about. We need to be in a place of desperation when it comes to desiring to live in the kingdom and for the kingdom and for the king. There has to be a certain desperation about us that we keep in front of us all the time. I'm going to use this example. I've heard it. Some of you will have heard the course when we went through the Dave Ramsey course, the financial course, when he was helping and teaching. And he used this. He talked about if you want to get out of debt, he said, you have to have a desperation about it. And this is the example that he used. He said, if you had a child that needed an operation and they had to have this operation within 6 months and it cost $5,000 to have this operation and you didn't have any money, you couldn't go to the banks or you couldn't go to your loved ones to borrow it. But you needed this operation, your child had to have it. There is some way that you would figure out whether you have to take more jobs or whatever, but you'd come up with that money one way or the other. I mean, you love your child one way or the other, you're going to get that money because you're in a place of desperation. Well, that's the kind of attitude really you have to have if you're going to live in this world that we live in, that the Bible says is there is a God who is called Satan, the God of this world, who is designing the world system to do everything it can to draw us away from our Creator. And if we're not going to be drawn away from our Creator, if we're not going to be living a life that is more worldly than kingdom, then we're going to have a desperation. There's going to have to be a certain desperation about us to be able to seek after God in such a way that we're going to be able to live for Him in the midst of what the Bible calls a corrupt generation. We have to realize that. We cannot, just because we live in this wonderful, wonderful nation and this wonderful little island, we enjoy so many wonderful things. We enjoy friends and neighbors, and we enjoy the blessings of the land and each other and all the rest of it, does not mean that we can get comfortable with our Christianity. In fact, I think sometimes we have to be even more militant about our Christianity in order to stay steady in the midst of so much blessing. And of course, the Israelites were warned about that. They were told, when you go into the land of Canaan, when you get in there and all the giants are defeated, and you go in and live in your wonderful houses and all the rest of it, there was a warning. He said, don't forget that it was the Lord your God that gave you all these things. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he said, be careful to make sure that you recognize where all these blessings come from. And you and I, when we live in this land, we have to realize that we are blessed people. We live in a blessed land. We're enjoying many blessings, but we must not forget where they come from. And that means there are some areas in our lives that have to demonstrate that we belong to the kingdom, that we belong to the kingdom of God. Just a few things this morning. Let's look at, Hebrews, I mentioned the scripture last week, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so it talks about almost like a competition. We have to live life like a competition, competing with who? Not with one another, but against the forces of darkness. We are to live life in such a way that we are putting everything into it to live for Christ. And it says there's throw off every weight. Sometimes weight can get us out of balance, and we take on too many weights in the world. Let's show that donkey who got himself in trouble there. He got too much weight in one end and is really out of control. His feet are off the ground. He's got too big a load. Do you ever feel like that? That in life you got so much weight on you that it seems like you can't find your ground, your feet, and it just seems like you're spinning your wheels? Well, sure, there are times that can happen. And we have to realize that we cannot live like that. We cannot take all the things of the world, even if they're things that, you know, are good things that we want for people. Sometimes we can take the weight of that on us. It might be a loved one that's not living for God and we're concerned about them and all the rest of it. Well, we cannot take all that weight upon our lives and still have some solid footing underneath us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to cast all our cares. Let's look at that scripture. Cast all our cares upon Him. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, one of our major problems, just keep that up there for a minute, one of our major problems is the pride of life. It's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Really, it's the pride of life. We think we know better. We refuse to act in humility. And how do we act in humility? How is this scripture telling us to act in a place of humility? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, casting your care upon Him. Casting your care upon the Lord is actually an act of humility. It's actually an act of saying, I can't carry this, Lord. I'm going to need You to carry this. I'm casting it on You. It is a way to defeat pride in our lives, to cast the care of whatever it is we're carrying onto the Lord. If we'll do that, we're actually acting in a place of humility. And it's an awesome way to defeat any pride in our lives. And we have to continually do that, continually work at that, because pride is something that comes off often. Now, Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not fight against flesh and blood, or we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil forces and so forth. These are the things that we fight against. We do not fight against flesh and blood. But it is clear from that scripture that the Apostle Paul is saying we are in a battle. We are in a battle. There are foes arrayed against us. There are principalities, there are powers, there are systems that are arrayed against you and I. And you and I have been given tools in order to fight against these supernatural principalities and so forth. In other words, you're not all the things that we see, all the influence that we have in media and so forth, trying to get us to live in what is less than a godlike fashion. Behind these are principalities and powers, spiritual forces trying to manipulate society in order to get away from the principles of God. These spiritual forces are bombarding our minds continually in order to become a people who will act like the God of this world as opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's continually trying to do that. Now, you and I have, as I say, we have scriptures, we have teachings, we have direction in order to be able to come against these things, but it's up to us whether we use them or not. One of the things I'm convinced of, folks, in this day that we live in especially, and I don't know what it's like in the past because it wasn't back there, but I know today, I am convinced that we come into the kingdom of God. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We say that we don't want to die and go to hell, so we've received Jesus. Well, I'm convinced unless we learn to pray, unless we learn to take the word of God and speak it over our lives, we are doomed to backslide. Unless we learn to pray, and that's more than just, Lord, I lay myself down to sleep, and, you know, if I die before awake and so forth. It's more than just going down that line. It is actually taking the word of God and speaking it over our lives in such a fashion that it will change things in our spiritual lives. Things will begin to take place. Protection will come. There is a necessity for every born-again believer to learn to pray and to take the word and proclaim it over their lives. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you want to experience life, then you must confess the word over your life. We cannot be born again. Oh, thank God we're saved and don't have to go to hell. That's the reason why I got saved. That's the only reason why I got saved, when I got saved. And any way to get saved is a good reason. But I learned a lot more after that. There's a whole lot more you can enjoy in life as well, rather than just know that you die and don't have to go to hell. I mean, that's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. But there's more to it than that. And you and I can learn to live what Jesus called the abundant life, or life more abundantly, as we take the word of God and speak over us ourselves as well, and to pray. God does hear prayer. He does answer prayer. Your prayers do make a difference. Praying does change the spiritual environment. That's why throughout the week, many times I'll come into this place, this sanctuary, and I'll just pray and worship God. I'll pray that God would fill this place with his angels and his presence, and so that when you come in here on Sunday morning, the environment, the spiritual environment will be cleansed. You need to pray that way over your homes, over your bedrooms, and over your living rooms, and over your kids' rooms, and so forth. You need to go in there and pray and invite the Holy Spirit into that environment, so it'll be cleansed from demonic forces that are constantly trying to bombard us. Speak the word of God over yourself, over your family, over your lives. Be alert, because the kingdom of God, the enemy, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking whom he may devour. And if we just walk around with our heads stuck in the sand and our hands in our pocket, folks, we're going to be defeated. Now, I'm saying this morning, I believe the Lord has me to put this forth, because we can get to the place where we are taking things for granted that we shouldn't be taking for granted. Well, amen, Pastor, it sounds good. Sounds good to me. I don't know if it sounds good to you or not. You know, If we don't learn to pray, if we don't take spiritual authority, we're not going to be able to make advances in the kingdom of God. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast means to hold back from going away. In other words, if you got something good, hold fast to it. If you've heard some things that are good for you, hold fast to it. If you've heard about a lifestyle that you need to live in a different way, hold fast to it. It means to hold fast, keep it from going away. It is to check another definition of the word hold fast there, the Greek word that's translated hold fast, is to check a ship's headway, to hold the ship on course. In other words, hold fast to what is good. It means to hold fast to those things that is keeping you on the right course in walking in the kingdom of God. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast. Why do you have to hold fast? Why would you have to hold? Come here, Nicholas. Why would you have to hold fast to something? Here, Nicholas, hold fast to this. Why would I tell Nicholas to hold fast to that? Why wouldn't I just say, just you can let go now for a second. I know you're too sharp to fall for that. I know that if I say that, I just give it to him, hang on to that, and just lightly, well, that's one thing. But if I give it to him in this kind of fashion, hold fast to that, Nicholas. It's a little different, isn't it? Saying something a little different. You never know when somebody's going to try to pull it out of your hand. Now, if that was somebody else with Nicholas, it probably would have came out of there. But you need to hold, in other words, you hold fast. The scripture tells us to hold fast to something because somebody's trying to get it out of your hands. Somebody's trying to pull it out of your life. Somebody's trying to get you off course. So you get in the ditch. Thank you, Nicholas. There is a force that's trying to get it, what we have learned from the Word of God, trying to get us to drop it, to let it go, so it won't have any knowledge or effect upon our lives. You've heard me say before, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Say that with me. Life and death are in the power of my tongue. You see, life and death is in the power of my tongue. What comes out of my mouth is going to have more to do with producing life or death in my life than what comes out of anybody else's mouth. So it's my mouth that I have to watch. And you have a mouth that you have to watch too. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's just say, let's use that little example there when Jenny was talking about, you know, the love of God. And she talked about Mother Teresa picked this, you know, this man up out of the gutter. How could she love that man? Well, it had to be a supernatural love. It had to be. It had to be a supernatural love. Well, you say, well, I want that pastor in my life. I want to have that supernatural love. Well, if you really do, then to me, what a good step of faith, words of faith would be, Father, I thank you for your love that has been deposited in my life. Father, I thank you so much that you have shed abroad your love into my heart. I thank you that your love wells up within me, even toward my brothers and sisters and people in this world. Your love, God, wells up. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the administration and the demonstration of your love coming out of me. That would be a good demonstration of getting your mouth in line with what you desire to come forth. Not, oh, I've seen that person. I couldn't go near that person. Oh, my God, I can't even look at them. It makes me sick just to look at them. And that's producing death. But you decide what you want and then speak accordingly. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11 just for a few minute here. Jesus said, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The literal translation of that is, have the God kind of faith. Just the same as we need supernatural love to well up within us, that God puts on the inside of us to live the life that Jesus lived, in the same way we need supernatural faith put into us by God. And why should we not have that, or why couldn't we have that, since we've been made in the likeness and the image of God? We are made after his likeness, we are made after his image, so we should have attributes of God. Or we should have some of the ways that God does things, did things and does things, there should be an evidence of that in our lives. Because we've been created like him. We've been made like him. I mean, you know, when we produce offspring, we know that, you know, they can do the same thing. They can actually end up going further than we can in life. And we pray that they will. And so God created us in his likeness and in his image. And then he wrote the Bible to show us how he did things. And he says, you go and do things like that too. Now, Mark 11:23. Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we have an issue in our lives. We have a problem in our lives. There may be something happening in our lives that we want an answer to, that we want to see changed. It may be a mountain of some kind. And so we need to take Jesus' words here and apply them. Now, I want you to notice this. Well, I'm going to read it again. Every once in a while, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to ask you to say a word, and so you'll get it. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, everybody say says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says, everybody say says, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice how many times we're instructed that what we say is going to make a huge difference. Those things that we say is going to make a huge difference. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Bill, just, you know, saying things over and over and over again is not going to create anything. It's not going to make things happen. No, it's not. But I'll tell you one thing. If our mouth is lined up with the Word of God, it will open the door for the supernatural God to come in with supernatural activities, come into our situation in a supernatural way. We're not going to cause it to happen by saying things over and over and over again, but we open the door by faith for God to come in. God's looking for a way to come into our lives to be able to do something supernaturally, do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And we open the door for God to do that with our tongue. And as we begin to speak out the things that we desire, we begin to believe God that these are going to take place. The Bible says we will have whatever we want, we hope for. It doesn't say that. Whatever we're wishing for, whatever we're paying for, doesn't say that. It says we'll have whatever we say. What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your health? This is a critical one, you know. We go around and we see in lots of places, and, well, I used to say older people said that, but I'm finding people my age say that as well, so it can't be just older people. You got that, did you, Claude? Oh, my back. Oh, I went to the doctor today, and I had to get two more prescriptions because my lumbago was giving me a problem. Oh, I'm having a problem with arthritis. My arthritis is killing me. You know, when you get old, you get arthritis. You know that? Got to come. Oh, you'll get it when you get there. And most of the population agree. Yeah, I'm going to get it. When I get such and such age, it's going to be my problem too. Don't know what I'm going to do. My legs are going to give out. Happened to my dad. Well, if we say those things, we open the door for those things to come and grab us by the throat and hogtie us, if you will, into those situations. Because we will have whatever we say. What are we saying about our lives? What are we holding fast to? What are the things that we are hanging on to? Hold fast to the good things. because somebody's trying to rip them out of your hand. Listen to some of the things that we're commanded to hold fast to. I'm just going to read through them really quickly. In the book of Revelations, the number of times we're told to hold fast to things. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, "And you hold fast to my name," Jesus is saying. "Hold fast to my name." In Revelation 2:25, "But hold fast what you have until I come," Jesus said. Revelation 3:3, "Hold fast and repent." What do you mean, Pastor? Hold fast and repent. I thought I did repent. Well, did you do anything since you repented last time? Did you do anything you shouldn't have did since you repented last time? Repentance is not a one-time thing, folks. When we miss it, we ask God, change us. Change us. Forgive us. But isn't that interesting? He said, hold fast and repent. Hold fast to repentance, folks. Don't be afraid to repent. That's the most wonderful gift that you could come across. Don't be afraid to go to God when you miss it. First of all, admit you miss it, and then repent. God's always there to open up his arm. He said, hold fast to that. Why would he say to hold fast? Because somebody is trying to get us to a place where we think we don't need to repent, where we think we're above that. But no, hold fast and repent, Jesus said. Give that warning to us. Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." In other words, hold fast to the things that we know about, because somebody is trying to get us into a place where we will lose our crown or the rewards that we can get to when we get into heaven. The scripture also says in the book of Acts that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word "saved" there is from the Greek word zozo, and it means deliverance. That doesn't only mean saved from hell. It means deliverance from all molestation of the devil or the enemy. That word salvation means deliverance from all the things of the devil. Hold fast to the word of God, that we might be delivered from all the molestation of the devil. Jesus said, "The devil, the thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Hold fast to the life that Jesus came. Don't be complacent about it. Don't be complacent about taking the word of God on a daily basis and have it wash over you. Have your devotion time, have your prayer time, fellowship with God, connect with him, so that you will not be allowing anybody to snatch what is so important to you out of your hands. Hold fast to that which is good. Stand with me, please. Would the worship team come, please? Just before we close, I want to mention to you, I was going to mention it first at the beginning, but I know there's a number of people who are excited about the faith, and people who are just got saved recently, and one of the steps that comes after salvation is water baptism. And we want to minister that to you. Those of you who would like to be water baptized, I would ask you to call my office and just even put your name down and let me know that you want to be water baptized, and we'll over the next number of weeks we'll have a water baptismal service and allow you and rejoice with you as you go through the waters of baptism. It is an important step after salvation, and maybe you've been born again for quite some time, but you have never been water baptized as a believer, and you'd like to be. Well, we want to give you that opportunity as well to go through the waters of baptism in that fashion. I know for me, when I was saved when I was 27 years old, and that was a special time for me. Just to add to that, I remember one time hearing about a person who was caught in the occult, and he was right into it. in a very deep fashion. And he was being questioned about, you know, did you do much about when people would come out of the occult and want to leave it and so forth and try to get them back in? And he said, oh, yes, we always tried to get them back, especially if they became a Christian. We would even try to get them back. But once they went through water baptism, we gave up. Once they made that step of water baptism, we decided not to try to get them back anymore. They had gone too far, is what they said. In other words, even the demonic world recognizes that something happens when you go through water baptism that is beyond their reach, as it would be. Father, as we worship you, God, we thank you for your grace and blessing. We thank you that when we speak of your grace, we're speaking about a supernatural grace, an ability beyond our human means. But I'm so glad, dear God, that we're not limited to our humanness, God. That the Holy Spirit has come and has brought life into us. The Holy Spirit is the moves in our lives in such a fashion that the administration of all that Jesus came to release upon the earth is at our very disposal. And we thank you, God, that your word tells us that we are not to forget any of the benefits of the kingdom of God, that you forgive all our sins and that you heal all our diseases. We praise you for that, God. And Lord, we just speak healing over the congregation this morning, God. We speak the benefits of the kingdom over the congregation, that you forgive all sin, you heal all our diseases. You said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we thank you, Father, for the calling of the privilege we have to call on the name of the Lord. We worship you for that, God. And God, as we continue, we just thank you for you ministering to your people. We're going to have a worship song right now. And in case there was some of you who weren't here before when I suggested when we brought our offerings up, we brought them off earlier. I noticed people come in late because when I'm worshiping, I can see the cars driving by the front and you see it on the screen. But for you who never heard, that's what we did this morning a little bit differently. If you need prayer this morning, no matter what it is, don't leave this place without prayer. We will pray with you. We will speak God's word over you. We'll believe with you that whatever it is that you're praying for, is the answer from God is going to come. So let's worship God. And if you need prayer, come on up as we sing.